Max Taylor.
Thank you, sir. Jim, calling you. Be right with you, sir.
Yes. Hello?
General Taylor, sir.
Max.
Mr. President, yes, sir.
I got a little labor love. I think this fellow McCarthy is an intellectual in one of our problems, and he keeps saying that he can see no reason for the bombing and no case for the bombing.
Yes.
And I would like you to do your homework a little bit and try to get such speculations as you need from the CIA and from the defense people and from Westmoreland's people. I'd sure take the letter, cable I got from Lodge yesterday, the revised one. The first one, he said it'd be over this year, and we told him get that out. We don't want to be predicting it, so he revised it. Get Lodge's cable, and then get your best military planner over there. You might want to take him with you. I don't know who you could take. Maybe somebody like Goodpaster's been briefing folks. And go to see McCarthy and make the case for bombing. He says there's no case, and nobody's ever given him any reasons for it, and he doesn't understand it, and he doesn't know why, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can show him that if the boys just hunker up in these enclaves like a jackass in a hailstorm and let them shoot at them, why, they're going to be in a hell of a shape.
Yes,
and if they don't try some way to make it hard on them and stop them, why, they're going to kill a bunch of American boys that ought to die.
Yes,
and that the only way you can do that is to try to stop the trucks when they come down the road, and try to stop the oil that goes into them, and try to keep them busy fixing the bridges, and try to hold them up for a few weeks, and try to make them pay enough through attrition that they'll finally say, well, we better talk, and then show them that that's what we're trying to do, and point out to him he's a pretty anti-CIA, but just point out to him that John McCone told us last April that we just had to not take 100 sorties or 200 sorties, but we had to take everything we had and unload it right away on all of these areas, because the American people wouldn't stand still for over 6 or 8 months on bombing. I read his memo yesterday, and it just proves it's right. The way they are raising hell, they're breaking ranks up on the hill because of bombing. But just say now, every time we lose a $3 million plane, we lost three of them yesterday. We got the pilots back, at least got two out of the three. But every time we lose a $3 million plane, we may have saved ourselves 308 Marines.
Cut.
And we have proceeded on the theory that we use a little steel and a little hydraulics and a little electric system instead of a human. And we think that they've got 100,000 people kept busy because of what we've done. We think they might have twice as many people down there. We don't think we ought to match them man for man. And if we're not to match them man for man, we've either got to put some ships or planes, because that's all we got besides man for man.
Yes.
And that's what we tried to do. And here are the 10 reasons why I, as a military man and as a political man, think that it is essential. And just say, now, I went along with the pause, because all these people said from May until December that if you pause long enough to give us a chance, that we can bring them to the peace table. And the Russians said it. Well, Fulbright came to me and said it. Mansfield came to me and said it. And McGovern came to me and said it. Everybody that this Russian ambassador talked to came to me and said it. After he talked to Mac Bundy, his blood pressure went to 208, and he said he's got it all worked out. And then Bob McNamara felt the same way, and finally got to Rusk, and Rusk had doubts about it, and we held it up three times. Then Rusk got up and said, well, I think so. And I still thought that we were just being a plain damn fool to take off our pressure and do this. But everybody else thought otherwise, and finally they told me to talk to Max Taylor, and that he would say that if we're ever going to have a pause, that he wasn't urging it or recommending it, but it would do a minimum amount of damage during Christmas when we had bad weather and so forth. And I did, and I finally, on my own, without anybody being responsible, concluded that I had listened to this belly aching so long by so many, so frequently, it took so much of my time every day with the Fulbrights and the Mansfields and the Hartkes and the McCarthys and the rest of them coming in, that I just say, put up or shut up. So I told him, go tell that Russian ambassador, give him plenty of advance notice, and tell him we not only would have his 12 days, we'd have his 20 days. And now let's see, get busy, and let's see what they do. Well, they couldn't pee a drop. I think Shalepin tried. I just don't think he could deliver. I think they wanted to try to work out something, but I just don't think they could. And to believe otherwise, or just believe that they really determined to eat us up and they can't be trusted at all, and I rather think that's true. I think that anybody treat Kennedy like he did on missiles and lied to him about that, I don't think you can trust him a second, but I won't try to get along in the world. And so anyway, I went ahead on that. And I didn't go for 5 days, I went for 5 weeks. And the very damn crowd, this same crowd now, that said, if you just give us 12 days, and just give us a chance, Fulbright and Morse both had been out to dinner. And Averill had been to dinner. They had everybody in this town to dinner. I bet they had you to dinner, telling you what to do. And they had Bundy to dinner, and all of them. And by God, we bought it lock, stock, and barrel, and we wound up, as the British said about my clothes, with a big, fat, hunk, chunk of nothing. That's the way we wound up. But we oughtn't to be blamed now for being warmongers, because we did. We tried to extend the peace wand, and we know that the United Nations is not going to resolve anything, at least we don't think so, but they raise hell about the United Nations, so we're going to do that. Now, their record of prophecy and success is just about as poor as ours. They started out and said, we got to kill Jim because he's no damn good, and let's knock him off, and we did.
Then, where it all started.
That's exactly where it started, and I just pled with it at the time, please don't do it, but that's where it started, and they knocked him off. And then, by God, they came along and said, well, you've got to have pacification, you've got no economic program, and so on and so forth, so we did what we could there. Then they said, well, you're not negotiating. I said, well, we'll talk to anybody.